Good morning, everyone. This is February day 6 on the 8th of February, and it's a very windy, wet day here in the UK. In Kent, we've got the storm Imogen coming, although you could have fooled me. I thought she was here last night. The wind was absolutely terrible. We had really heavy rain and thunder. Anyway, apparently it's going to peak this afternoon, so it's pretty windy out there. Okay, excuse me, breaking the rules. It may surprise people, I'm not really a rule breaker. I tend to think I can get away with things rather than break rules. And sometimes it's to my cost, like before Christmas when I thought I can get away with not dialysing as often as I should, and I couldn't. So really, I'm going to have to go back, way back to school days. Secondary school. They were petty rules that I broke, or that we broke. And there weren't always consequences because we didn't always get found out. The first rule I can remember breaking was not getting up when I was supposed to. We slept in dormitories, obviously it was a boarding school, and at 7 o'clock the rising bell would go. It was an electric bell. You pressed it downstairs in the main corridor and it would ring throughout the school. It was the bell that went for changing lessons, to tell us it was breakfast, to tell us it was dinner time, to tell us it was supper time. Basically, our life was ruled by this bell. And then we had another bell. Well, obviously there was a fire bell, but you hope that didn't go off very often. But then there was another bell called the roof bell. And it was up on top of the roof. I went up there and saw it once. It was like in a little, not exactly a house, but like a little shelter. And it was a metal bell. It wasn't huge. And again, I think the pulley for it was down in the main corridor again. And if we were outside, because we had to go outside in the grounds for certain times of the day, they would ring the bell and we could hear it outside because it was up on the roof. It's a ding, ding bell, like a church bell, and we'd all, not very loud, but you could hear it wherever you were in the grounds. If you couldn't hear it, you were somewhere you shouldn't have been, basically. So we would all go in. That meant come in. We used to go in the evenings. Like in summer, we were allowed out. We weren't really allowed out in the winter when it was dark, but in summer, we were allowed out in the evenings. And I think the roof bell used to go about 8:45. And then we all had to come in. But anyway, back to the rising bell. The rising bell would go at 7. And then shortly afterwards, one of the house care staff, the house mothers or childcare staff, would come round making sure we were all getting up. They'd go and come in the door and they'd go, get up, come on, up, 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 up. In a quite an abrasive manner, most of them, and I hated that. I'm not a very good morning person, so I used to pretend like I was getting up, and then they'd go away, and then the bell for breakfast would go at 7:50, and that is when I would get out of bed, and bearing in mind I had to have a wash, get dressed into my uniform. I don't know when we were supposed to make our beds. I can't remember whether we made them after breakfast. I suppose if we had time, we were meant to make them before. Anyway, the bell went at 7:50 for breakfast. And in the entrance hall next to the dining room, we had a gong. And the chef would come out, or one of the kitchen staff would come out, and there was a stick with like a round leather bit, a bit like a drumstick, really. And they would bang the gong, boing, 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 at 8 o'clock. And then we'd go into breakfast or dinner or whatever. But at breakfast, it was 8 o'clock. And we'd always have Radio 4 news on. And it always used to say, the weather forecast, rain spreading from the west. That's the only thing I can ever remember on the forecast. I never remember it saying anything else. It was always rain spreading from the west. Anyway, most of the time, I'd get down there after 8 o'clock when everyone had gone in. Now, if you did this more than three times, if you did this three times, like, well, I don't know, in a week, or it didn't have to be in any particular time, but they kept a record of it. If you were late three times, your punishment was to be woken up at 6 o'clock instead of 7. Someone would come and wake you up, and you had to get up and get dressed, make your bed, go downstairs and sit in the common room till 7 o'clock. And then you had to ring the rising bell for everyone else to get up. And then you weren't allowed back upstairs. I couldn't go back and lay on my bed. You had to stay in the common room. It was actually pretty boring, I must admit. I hated it. The only times I can remember doing it was in the winter and it was dark when I was downstairs and I was on my own and I absolutely hated it. But it was worth it for me to get that extra time in bed. Other times I broke the rules were later on. In the fifth year, we weren't in dormitories anymore. We were in double rooms in a part of the building which had been added on at some point where the gym and the stage and everything were, called North Wing. It was a double-storey building, but it was part joined onto the school like an annex. And the first two terms in North Wing, I was on the ground floor sharing. We swapped around, we shared with different people. In the summer, I couldn't do this one because I was up on the top floor. What I used to do every day after dinner was at, the bell for dinner went at 10 to 1, the gong went at 1, and then we were like finished dinner by 1:30. And then we had to go upstairs and clean our teeth. And then at 1:50, the bell would go again, and we'd go down to the cloakrooms, and we'd put on our outdoor shoes. We had special shoes for outdoors, and our coats and whatever, gabardines. And we would get our guide canes, because that's what we, symbol canes, because that's what we used then. And we would have a partner. We would choose someone, and we had to go on these. There were set walks. You did walk tests, and then once you'd done that walk, someone followed you. And once you'd done it safely on your own, you could go on it with someone else. So an hour after lunch, we had to go out for a walk till 2:50. And then the bell would go again. We'd come back in, and then we'd have three lessons in the afternoon, 3 till 3:30. 3:30 till 4:00, and 4 till 4:30, at which time another bell would go and we would go down to the entrance hall where there would be a trolley where you had some kind of bun, like an iced finger, a Chelsea bun, a Belgian bun, sometimes like these buns with like cream, artificial cream in, which were actually disgusting, but the others were all right, and orange or lemon squash. And the certain type of squash they used sometimes, and used to make, and it was quite strong, and it would make us cough. Sometimes I get that now, and my friend Isabel and I, she was my best friend most of the way through school, used to call it coughing orange. It used to make her cough, actually, not really me, but I've had orange squash that makes me cough since then. Coughing orange, and I always think of Isabel and her coughing orange. Oh no, it's coughing orange today. I think it's when they made it really strong. And then at 4:45, another bell would go, and we had to go and do prep. And in the first year, that was till 5:45. Now you can see why I hated these bells and why I rebelled, excuse the pun, against them. At 5:45 in the first year, we were finished prep and we can go in the common room or go up to our dormitory or whatever. But after that, prep was from 4:45 till 6:25, when, I think it was 6:25, when we can go and go to the toilet or do what we've got to do, and then the bell for supper would go at 6:50. Anyway, walk time, it was called. After lunch, walk time. We grew to hate walk time because we had to go, unless it was absolutely pouring down, I think we did have to go in the rain. I can't really remember, but I hated walk time. And so what I used to do was make sure, so we had to have what they called a walk partner when we were older. So we had to teach someone in a younger form, like the second year upwards, some of the routes that we'd learn, and then we had to teach them, and then they got tested on it, and then they were allowed to go on it on their own. I couldn't do what I'm going to tell you about when I had a walk partner like that, because it would have been known that I didn't go with them. Because someone was standing at the end of the cloak, where the cloakrooms are in the corridor, with a bit of paper ticking us all off who we went with and where we were going, what walk we were doing. We had to tell them, so obviously they knew where we'd gone. And so what you do, you pick someone from your own year, like one of your friends, and then what we do, we'd tell them we were going somewhere. I mean, this is really bad. But we'd tell them we were going somewhere, and then we'd walk down the driveway, and then there was a branch off to the right that went right back round the back of the school to North Wing. So what I'd do, before at some time during the morning, I would go back to North Wing, open my window, and then I'd say, come on, let's go on walk time. So we'd go, we'd sign out to walk time, and then we would actually go round the building and back to the back of North Wing. Actually, some teachers lived upstairs, but I never got caught doing this. And we would just climb in the window. You know, I thought I was so clever. Whether they ever knew I did it, I don't know. No one ever challenged me over it, so I don't think they did. Another thing we used to do is in the fourth year, we had our form room, our classroom, was in Cedar House, which is another building, a separate building just across the way from the main building, which had the science lab, the language lab, some what they call coaching rooms, which were little rooms where you can do individual, you know, if there's only a couple of you in a group. There was a computer room. And then there was a big lounge for the sixth form and sixth form bedrooms. There were some double rooms and some single rooms and a couple of classrooms. And we had a classroom in the fourth year. And we used to just walk across there and go in the Cedar House and go up to and sit in our classroom during walk time. That was another thing we used to do. Well, I did. I don't know if everybody did it, but obviously, as I had to have a partner, someone must have done it with me. Maybe it was different people, I don't know. I never did anything really terrible, but other things we did to break the rule were having midnight feasts. The first year we had one, there were two dormitories, and we were up on the top floor with our form teacher in her flat right opposite us, and she was a right nosy, pokey woman. She was always listening outside the door and nosing. She was very nosy, but we managed to get away with this. No one in my dormitory wanted to do it, the midnight feast. They were all a bit boring. So the next one, which was called Argos, my dormitory, because all the dormitories were named after ships, famous ships. So I went in Argos and joined theirs. We just sat on the floor. And then the second year, again, only two people in my year, in my dormitory, it was me and someone else, wanted to do it. So we joined with the one, our dormitory next door, which was Victory. We were in Golden Hind and they were in Victory. Now, Victory was quite interesting because it had these doors that led onto a fire escape, which was a big winter garden. It's a listed building, actually. It's a big glass, like, greenhouse with all this very elaborate wrought iron trellises and the staircase and everything. And it was actually really a fire escape. So we crept down there at midnight and we actually went out into the grounds and we crossed over to the pavilion, which was where we used to get changed up because we had an outdoor swimming pool. And we actually had our midnight feast in there. Another time we had it on stage, which also involved walking right to the other end of the school. In the third year, I don't know where we had it. I can't remember that. That was the fourth year. We didn't have them after that because we were too grown up, you know. But breaking rules. Oh, I broke another rule as well. I used to feed the school cat. I've always been cat mad. There was this tortoiseshell cat. She had a limp. I don't know what happened to her. Her name was Tawny, and she was quite spiteful, but she liked me. Well, I used to feed her, you see. Someone else used to feed her before that, and then they said to me, would you like to take over feeding Tawny in my third year? And I was absolutely delighted. I was so happy because a lot of people had rabbits and that there, and I didn't. We had rabbits at home, but I didn't want to bring them to school, so I didn't. I used to look after the chickens as well, but they all got caught by a fox one night. So I was really happy to look after the school cat. And she was fed in the cellar. It was horrible down there. It was quite creepy. And there was a door that went through to the boiler room next adjacent to the cellar, which had a hole sawn in it for like a cat flap, but there was no flap. It was just a hole. So she can come in and out. She did come in the school building. In fact, sometimes in the morning, I was on the top floor again that year. And she would come right up two flights of steps and cry outside my dormitory door sometimes first thing in the morning because she knew I was in there. And she would follow me about in school. And Mary had a little lamb. Mel had a little cat. She wasn't white as snow, but she did follow me wherever I did go. But anyway, one day, my friend and I used to feed her, actually, Isabel. But Isabel wasn't there at weekends. She used to go home every weekend at that point, because we weren't allowed to when I first went there. We were only allowed on certain weekends. But then afterwards, they changed the rules. So she used to go home every weekend. And so I had to feed her on my own. And then one day, we thought I could have had a bit of sight then. We thought we saw there was a chair down there for the cat to sit on with like a cushion on it and a sheet over it. And the sheet was white, obviously. And I thought I saw something black just fleetingly disappear from the chair. And I said to Isabel, did you see that? And she went, yeah, I think I did. She had a lot more sight than me, and she still got really good sight. So I said, I know how we'll know if there was a cat sitting on the chair. And we went and I put my hand on it, and it was warm. So we realised this cat, when he saw us, he jumped down and he hid behind the bookshelves. And he was a big fat cat. We gradually got him tame and he was lovely. We called him Twinkles. I mean, it was such a stupid name for him. I think he was an unneutered male. He was lovely. And he, again, used to see me in the grounds and he knew I meant food and he used to go, wow, when he saw me. He used to give the game away. Anyway, I got told off for feeding him because they said that it was taking Tawny's food away, because the food they gave Tawny was, you had to, every day after dinner, I would take this little plastic Tupperware box to the kitchen. I'd go and knock on the kitchen door and then they would take it away and they'd half fill it with some stew or some shit that we'd had for dinner. Sometimes it was the roast meat, and that was Tawny's food. And we used to give her milk as well and water. But the thing is, we started feeding him, and I got told off for feeding him because they said he belonged to somebody because he was fat. Well, he did, but I think he belonged to somebody down the back drive because he often used to come from that way. But the point is, if we hadn't fed him, then Tawny would have had no food because he'd just come in and eat it. So I didn't. One day we were told not to feed him because I don't know how someone went. Someone else helped me feed him feed Tawny when Isabel was at home at the weekend, and I think they grassed on me. Typical. She was such. I'm not going to mention her name. She was a real goody goody. She would always grass on you, and so I got into trouble for feeding this other cat. But the thing was, I used to go to the shop and buy food out of my pocket money. I used to buy cat food at the shop because what they used to give her wasn't enough anyway. And, you know, if I didn't buy this extra food, then he would just come in when we're not there, eat Tawny's food, and then she'd have nothing. Because I was only, you know, only given food for her like once a day, and it wasn't even that much. So anyway, I was told not to feed him by one of my people I didn't like. And then one day, I didn't take any notice, of course, and one day I was sitting with somebody, it was when Isabel wasn't there, we were sitting on the stone steps that went down into the cellar, and this cat was on my lap, I think, we were making a fuss of him, and all of a sudden the cellar door opened, the headmistress came in, and I got a right old bollocking, I tell you. But I think I still carried on. But the next year, in the summer of the following year, the boiler regulations people came out and did an inspection, and they said we couldn't have that door the way it was with a hole in it for the cat, because obviously if the boiler caught fire, it would easily get through to the cellar, which it would do anyway. Just because it had a foot square hole in it, it's not going to make it much worse than if it was filled in, unless it was a proper fireproof door. So maybe they had to have a proper fireproof door put on, in which they couldn't have a cat flap, so she had to go. I was so upset, you know. One of the teachers was leaving that summer, and she was going to take her home with her because she liked cats. And Miss Forgan, her name was, she used to teach geography. And she was very nice, but I was really upset. So we had a collection to buy her like stuff. We had a swear box. We made it out of a piece of braille paper. We just made it into a square and sellotaped it up with a slot in the top. I think I put the most in because I swore on purpose. And we collected about £5 or £6, which back then was a lot of money. And I took it home and my mum bought... They did say I could take her home, by the way. I could have had her, but we had a lot of cats because my mum does cat rescue work and she wouldn't have got on with them. She didn't like... She hated other cats. I couldn't do that. So we bought her a... I can't remember. We bought her dishes, a collar. We got it all blue. Blue bowls and blue collar and a blue blanket, all this stuff. And I remember sitting in the entrance hall when Miss Forgan brought her to say goodbye to me. She was in a cat carrier, one of those ones with like a wire mesh front. And I put my hand through and stroked her and she was putting her paw through to me. And I was absolutely heartbroken. I could not stop crying for days. But... She didn't last very long. I don't know how long she lived, but she wasn't happy living in a townhouse. She'd been used to like 30 or 40 acres of woodland and grounds to wander uninhibited. So she kept going in other people's gardens and it was built up and she didn't like it. So the last I heard, she was found a home on a farm. But I was a bit of a... I was a rule breaker, but I was a bit... I didn't really care that much. If I got into trouble, I didn't do anything really terrible or really dangerous. I just think that when you're put into a situation where you've got very rigid rules, which they were, where they were very strict, and you have to conform to these rules, and your life is dictated by bells and time, 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 you're late. That was Miss Murdy. You're late. Where have you been? I had to go to the... That's no excuse. That's a feeble excuse. Go upstairs now. That's the way you got spoken to. Or if you weren't sitting up straight at the table, they'd come and poke you in the shoulder blades and say, sit up straight. I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved it there. I absolutely loved it. I mean, I was very homesick when I first went away to school, but... And once I settled in, I loved it. And part of breaking the rules and flouting the rules was, you know, it was a challenge to do it. And I enjoyed that as well. And I did work quite hard at my lessons. And we didn't have a lot to entertain us, really, in the early days. Things did improve. But, you know, we didn't have TV. There was a TV we could watch if we... You know, there were certain programmes if we wanted to watch that we could get permission to watch and things like that. But, you know, we had our music. Most of us had, like, tape recorders and that was our entertainment or records. We could play records and we had a record player in the common room. You know, that was our entertainment, really, and running around outside. We had, like, swings and slides and stuff. You know, playing games and... We had a lot of imaginary stuff. Writing stories, we were always writing stories. And my friend and I used to write stories like an ongoing saga. Especially in the holidays we did this and we'd send them to each other. She'd write one part, I'd write the next part. But we used to do it in prep sometimes. When we'd finished our work, we used to start writing these stories. And they were about certain people, you know, certain characters. And that was our entertainment. So a bit of rule-breaking, you know... That didn't hurt anyone, really. I didn't do anything that endangered anybody's lives. Whether it could have endangered my own, I suppose, if there'd been a fire and they thought I was out on walk time and I was in the building somewhere. But, you know, you don't think of that when you're 14, 15. You don't think of things like that. You just don't care. You just think, oh, well, I'd get out the window. You don't think of the consequences. And we do things like... on walk time, a friend of mine... She's dead now, sadly, Jill. She died when she was in her 30s. But she and I used to go on this walk. It was called Wyatt's Road. And you went down one road and you went round the corner and you came back up parallel with that road and in this road called Wyatt's Road. And I don't know how we started to do this, but there was a lady along there, an elderly lady, and we used to go in and have tea and biscuits and cakes with her. And we were not supposed to go in people's houses. I don't know how we started that one. I can't even remember her name, but We loved going to see her. I used to say, Jill, should we go to White's Road today? And we knew that means, oh, we're going to knock on the old lady's door. We're not going to be doing much walking. We're just going to go and sit in there and have a cup of tea and some biscuits. But, you know, it was harmless. I mean, we wouldn't have gone in anyone else's house, I don't think. She was a harmless old lady, you know what I mean? And she was probably lonely. And to be honest, I expect she really looked forward to our visits, because it probably broke up her week. So, yeah, we did a bit of innocent kind of rule-breaking. And there was one time when we went down, a friend and I. There used to be, it was in the middle of the country, this school, but in our early years, they built a motorway. You could hear it all the time. They built a motorway, or they extended the motorway right near the school. It's not at the entrance or the exit, you know, the either front or back exit, but it's like there was like woodland, and it must have been the other side of the woodland. But one day we found ourselves in this field that we didn't know existed, and we went right to the other end, and that's where the road was. Anyway, we got caught by the headmistress. She was walking her dog. And she asked us if we'd been down near the road, and we said we hadn't. Well, we had, but we hadn't been out onto the road. We're not stupid, you know what I mean? It was a dual carriageway. It was a really big road. She made my friend, oh, thank God I didn't do it, because it was a lie. She made my friend put her hand on her dog. She had a reject guide dog called Topsy. She said, put your hand on Topsy and imagine you're swearing on the Bible. She made my friend swear on the Bible that we didn't go any further than, because she caught us like at the entrance to the field, and she made us swear that, well, I didn't do it, but my friend did, because she was older than me. She made us swear that we hadn't been any further, we hadn't been into the field. Well, we had, but we got away with that one. We're not stupid enough to tell her we did. And other things we used to do, like in our later years, there was the caretaker and his wife were Scottish, Mr. and Mrs. Hannah. They were really nice. And we used to go down there when we were meant to be at walk time and stuff like that. We used to go down there and they used to make us food and stuff like that. They were really lovely. And then another time, the last rule I'm going to tell you that I broke, which I didn't even know was a real rule, was one day we had to go to church. It was compulsory till the sixth form, I think. It was compulsory to go to church every Sunday. We had to put our best uniform on. You go to church. It was for quite a high Anglican church. And then you come home, you get changed into your own clothes, and then you have Sunday dinner, and then you've got the afternoon to yourself. So this was my second year. And I think it must have been summertime, because I was in church with my blazer and beret on. We had to wear that to church, and I got hot. So, excuse the sound effects. I got hot, so I took off my blazer and hung it on the back of my seat, because they weren't pews, they were like individual chairs. And then, at the end of the service, we were like still sitting there waiting to get up and go out. And the teacher, one of the teachers used to come, the one that was on duty, used to be our domestic science teacher, Miss Travis, and she put the fear of God into everybody. We hated her. We were so scared of her. As she came past me, she said, can you come and see me when you get back to school, please? And I thought, oh, shit. And I probably did think that as well. What have I done? Is it because I took my blazer off? So when we got back to school, I went to the staff room, I knocked on the door, and she came to the door and she said, do you know why you're here to see me? And I said, no. And she said, well, can you try and guess? And I went, is it because I took my blazer off in church? She said, no, it's because you took your beret off. Now, I'm not being funny, but what difference does it make? Okay, I can understand it. You're not supposed to take your berry off. But you look really stupid with your beret on and no blazer. She didn't seem to care that I took my blazer off. I look a right prat in a skirt and shirt and a hat on my head, which is why I took it off. So she said, for that, I'm going to fine you 2 pence, which back then, when we had our pocket money, was like 10p. That was quite a lot out of my pocket money. I was furious. It was Sunday. Now, the next day, we had science in the morning, and I remember telling the teacher, I went in, I said, here, guess what? And I was moaning. I said, oh, guess what? I got fined yesterday because I was in church and I took my berry off. Anyway, she was absolutely disgusted. She said, what on earth is wrong with this place? She was quite new. She started at the same time as we did, and she was like not as old-fashioned as a lot of the teachers were. And so there was a staff meeting. They had a staff meeting every week. I think it was that day. And guess what? I got berets abolished. We didn't have to wear them anymore. Not only in church, forever. So, and I got my money back as well. I think we could wear them if we wanted to, but they weren't like compulsory because I was always trying to ditch mine, you know what I mean? I'd let it slide off in the road when we were walking along, and then the trouble is it had my name in it and it had the school logo on it, and then someone would bring it back to the bloody school. But anyway, that was the end of berets as we knew them. 28 minutes and 12 seconds. 28 minutes, time remaining. 28 minutes, pause recording.